You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
Listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God. For all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and you has to get done, you must get done, you will get it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. That's why we have much love and respect for you. You know that. That's right. That's right. Much love and respect. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific. Any other time around the world, but if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. On the right side of the page, at the top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. And then, of course, all the programs are dated and titled. Now, also, too, if you choose to, there's a shortcut, babaoshi.net. Whatever search engine that you use, go to babaoshi.net. And then those programs, once again, will be there, dated and titled. Got that together. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening is on Thursdays, tomorrow, from 8 to 10. The Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. From 8 to 10 on Thursdays. Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And then Sundays at 7, once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is We Buy Black. .com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. You know, because if you don't, who will? That's right. That's the deal, brothers. That's why so many businesses go out of business that are ours, because we don't patronize them. And I don't look for anybody else to do it, although we patronize everybody else. Chinese restaurant make big business in our community. Very few Chinese be up in there buying the food. It is us. Man, I love us, though. I don't love what we do, but I love us. Yeah. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Taihemba, and what he's been able to do over these years. Africa for the Africans.org. And
course, he is ready to take a group of our people back to the motherland. And there's a trip upcoming, July 11th to July 23rd, to Ghana. November 20th to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azania, I think it's pronounced. April 4th to April 14th, Kenya. But I tell you, that's the name of this, that's the program here. When you know, shame on Kenya for allowing them to be used by the United States to go to another country where Africans are and to suppress them militarily. We'll talk about it. May 24th to June 5th, Ghana. November 2025. November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. And I'm quite sure there'll be some more, because that's how Brother Bamani is. Because he only has, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And that usually has about almost 7 to 8. It's a lot of them. So, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Make sure that you go to the website and check it out. Habesha, HabeshaIncorporated.org, and that's the work that they're doing here locally, and the work that work that they've established in Ghana with the Kashi Project. They have a festival October 12th of this year in Ghana, and of course the work that they do here locally with Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and Urban Green Jobs. That's Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. The Minister of Wellness. Brothers and sisters, go to theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com and check out all the products that he has, things that he's offering. And, of course, he is in Kenya, and he'll be there for another month or two, I believe. But when he returns, we look forward to talking with him and all the things that he's done in Kenya. Smy Pharmacy, SmaiFarmacy, Smy Pharmacy. Give Brother Jabril a call at 770-765-7751, 770-765-7751. Smy Pharmacy, SmaiFarmacy. The Moses West Foundation. You know, that's, I mean, water is the elixir of life. We need is the lifeblood of humanity. You know, water improves health. Clean water boosts community health by cutting down waterborne diseases, benefiting everyone, especially vulnerable groups like children and elderly. Water boosts learning capacity. Children and women tasked with fetching water often miss out on education and face increased health and safety risks, underscoring the critical need for accessible water solutions. And of course, the fact that it produces $1 worth of water security equals $4.30 of growth. Implementing the atmospheric water generators boosts community development, enhance agriculture, jobs, and local businesses with reliable water, akin to turning $1 investing into water security into $4.30 of economic growth. That's right. It happens. And so, brothers and sisters, go to the Moses West Foundation. Check it out for yourself. You can learn more. There's a lot of good information on there. They have 9 missions in 4 countries served and 6 million gallons produced for charity. That's what this is. It's a charitable thing. He's not looking for investors. He's looking for contributions. He's looking for those individuals who are willing to give some money to help others, to help provide water for areas where there may not be any. Because for whatever reason, yes, climate change is a big reason, but also too, contaminations and all kinds of other stuff. So we need to look at that. Moses West Foundation, brothers and sisters, MosesWestFoundation.org. Yeah. And so, Brother Bamani Tahimba, you can give him a call. Or you can check him out on Facebook.com/Bomani, or you can look at YouTube.com/Bomani2007 for things that he's doing. The Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta in the West End. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. They have delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and health products and dry goods. They serve vegan dishes on weekends, on Saturday and Sunday, that you can purchase. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore, Mama Nia, and the great work she's done, her beautiful bookstore, located inside the Greenbrier Mall. The phone number is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, gift certificates, and so much more. Check it out. The other bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia, which is east of here. You jump on I-20, exit number 74, make a left. Now you're headed north. In about a mile on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, where my good brother Gazimdi Ajamu is the proprietor. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride and head back south, and then make a left again. Now you're still headed east, but the next exit, exit 75. Take the exit, make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night at 9 o'clock from 9 to 10. On Blog Talk Radio, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU and listen to it on the computer. Or you can call in. You can dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. 8-9. That's us lifting us. And Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia, with Brother Abijah is an establishment. It's a multi-use establishment, man. It's really dynamic, I tell you. He has so much going on. And Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Yeah. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Please give my good sister Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabby is doing a great job with our children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, going towards Dominican Republic in those hills. And they rely on us because, you know, there I know the government is in such disarray. They rely on us. Sanjay, SONJAY-HAITI.org. SONJAY-HAITI.org. And, of course, Ackerman Institute and Baba Barui and Mama Yah, they have the Complementarity Conference this weekend. And it's the 1st, June 1st. It's going to be online. It's going to be online. I'm trying to bring the information up right now. There it is. The conference will be live streamed. You can register, make your donations. Couples, $40. Adults, $25. Teens, $12. Via PayPal, if you use PayPal, Yabarudi at Yahoo. If you use Cash App, $ Yabarudi to make your contributions to get the link. Included in your information, the pertinent information, it is Complementarity Conference, your name and your email address so you can access the link. Okay? That is this Saturday. Some great pictures. I love when he has done the Complementarity Conference. This time it's a group of pictures of him and Nia are beautiful, but he's just had couples, you know, brothers and sisters. It's outstanding. Also, too, a Save the Date, a healing event, African men and women releasing our pain and healing together. And that's going to be here in Atlanta, and that's going to be July 20th, Saturday, July 20th. So Save the Date, a healing event, African men and women releasing our pain and our healing together. Okay? All right. The Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. May 28th. A people who view themselves with no viable options are easily trapped into the lesser of two evils mentality. E. Jerome Johnson. A number of years ago, a former student took me fishing. He had gotten married and there were some relationships issue he wanted to talk over. The fishing had been going well when, as he had caught another fish, he stopped short of pulling it out of the water and said there was something he wanted to show me. Leaving the hook in the fish's mouth, he cut about 2 feet of worth of line and tied it around a stick he had pushed into the sand. Initially, the catfish, which was still fully submerged, went back and forth fighting against the stick, trying to get back into the deeper water. After about maybe 15 minutes or so, it had stopped struggling, and the brother said, "Watch this." He untied the string from the stick and dropped it in the water. 15 to 20 minutes afterwards, the fish was still just sitting there, occasionally wagging its tail. I was flabbergasted. It was free, but had given up on the escape, and then it clicked. This is most of us. We remain enslaved to Urugu's interpretations of our condition and possibilities through menticide's invisible tether. And we will remain so as long as we do not know and do not want to know who we are. Although the catfish only had a small lake, we have a whole ocean, the cosmos, to swim in. And yet we sit here on the edge of the shore of our power, allowing our spirits to remain broken. Like Nana, Dr. Carter G. Woodson's proverbial back door. That's right, if there ain't no back door, he'll create a back door for himself because his training, his interpretation will lead him so. It's a great quote. Urugu has taken the physical chains, but we still sit here waiting to be taken care of, waiting to be eaten, or just waiting to die. Sad. Affirm, I choose no evil. Affirm, I choose no evil. Yeah, that lesser of two evil things, you know. I choose nine of it, not a bit of it. The white liberals, May 29th, the white liberals are the indispensable agents of the white race. It is they, with their mastery of base emotion, their sophisticated analysis of nigger psychology that permits them to project a merciful, sympathetic image. This is vital so that harassed, beleaguered nigger ministers and other so-called African, American, African, black leaders can have such a source to which they can appeal. Iceberg the pimp, iceberg slam. White liberals are self-anointed saviors. They hunger for active carbon to feed their monochrome lives, needing proof of life from those without self-possession or memory. They stretch for pets to leash who will make them appear human. In aching to be worshipped, liberal landmines open their ministry to those aching to worship. As missionaries proselytizing Urugu's idea submission, they seek out those cultural clones most susceptible to a softer, subtler insanity. As agents of whiteness, these liberals are now comfortably revealing themselves as they slither through our hood, leaving lines of slime encircling what they reel steel with nooses renamed belt lines. They have it right here in Atlanta, the belt line. They cruise our sacred spaces, checking for defenses and easy targets, properties and people to steal. When caught white-handed, they issue apologies to pacify the blind. Desperately frisking eyes and measuring body language, they search for hidden signs of friend or foe. They consciously avoid the glare of those who know what they are until they can use allies to make them move, to use allies to make them no more. They pretend not to feel the righteous rage burning them back down into their hell from whence they came. They establish armor outposts of invader guardians, quick responders to the in-fort awakenings. Shuffling authority back into the white hands, they turn neighborhoods into disassociated financial killing fields. Affirm, I know that white liberals, Urugu, are still Urugu. Affirm, I know that liberal Urugus are still Urugu. Bottom line. To Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. My brothers and sisters, hope everything is well with you today. We're going to just go through some stuff that has been sent to me, and I'm going to read a few things, you know? Yeah. So, I talked about shame on Kenya. In the Kenya. And I know Mama Nabantu is on with me. I know she may have some information, but this comes from the Pan-African Federalist Movement. It's an open letter. It's an open letter to William Ruto, and he is the president of Kenya, I believe. Dear Mr. William Ruto, the images of your recent state visit to the United States was very disturbing to me and to every patriotic Kenyan. I saw you sitting on a chair, grinning, while Biden stood behind you, his face beaming with satisfaction. Why not? He had just announced that you had signed off our beloved Kenya to make it a non-member ally of NATO. In other words, you had agreed to become NATO's errand boy in America's struggle with Russia and China for access to resources of the continent. Ruto, do you know that NATO murdered Muammar Gaddafi so that Libyan oil fields, which Gaddafi had nationalized, would revert to the West. Gaddafi was once the chair of the African Union, which Kenya was a founding member. But this other picture was less disturbing. While you were inside the White House, Haitians were in the streets demonstrating, calling you a slave. Do you know the history of Haiti? Please read The Black Jacobins, the book written by a once proud Kenyan, Jomo Kenyatta, a Pan-Africanist and an ally of C.L.R. James, another Pan-Africanist. Haiti, now an African people's state, used to be a slave colony of France and led by Toussaint Louverture and Jean-Jacques Dessalines. Haiti, the richest colony of its time, fought France, slavery, and in 1804, it seized its independence. In USA, slavery was still in full bloom. America did not want its Africans to emulate Haiti, and it has never forgiven Haiti for that, and thus began the story of America's destabilization of Haiti. But not just America. Spain, because Spain took the other half of the island, the Dominican Republic. England. And, of course, the one that was defeated was France. And they joined in. So all of them jumped on Haiti and made them pay reparations. These crackers made them pay, made Haiti pay reparations. And as we know, many times some governments paid reparations to the Caucasians, you know, who once colonization was ended. Man, the nerve, the nerve. Rutu, do you see the irony of your actions? The USA was originally a settler colony taking over the land that belonged to indigenous people, native people. In 1776, the Caucasian settlers declared their independence from their English king. But the colonized indigenous people, the Native Americans, remained colonized. Because to Caucasians and their mindset, everybody outside of them is inferior. They're the most important people on the planet. But the colonizers, Native Americans, remain colonized. Kenya was equally a British settler. That's right. Equally a British settler colony. The white settlers wanted to have a similar kind of independence, but the Mau Mau, led by Dedan Kimathi, stopped them. Years later, Algeria, Zimbabwe, and Azania would follow the example of Kenya. Thus, the country would now lead. Was the first to stop the historical trend of white settlers claiming themselves independent, as in America, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. Hutu, you have chosen to betray that history of pride. Hutu, you have chosen to become an agent of the West. Hutu, you have chosen to sell your country cheap. Why, oh why? The Pan-African Federalist Movement. This man, I saw him on the news feed where I know they had talked about it. I was hoping that it wouldn't happen. And then, of course, Yeah, I understand the seriousness of what's happening in Haiti. And I was, you know, wishing that some leadership, that some sane leadership would come to the fore. A group of men and women within, not in any section of society, but for the Haitian people, period. Maybe a conglomeration of brothers and sisters from those who have been in the government, from those who have some monetary stake in Haiti, for those who are poor, from the just a group of brothers and sisters coming together, sitting at a table and saying, this is what we must do, we are going to do to end this madness. We're calling a truce with all the gangs. Put your weapons down. Let's figure out how we can work to build our community up and create jobs. You know, when we talk about Wakanda, they ain't no damn Wakandas. They come by Atlanta's a Wakanda. Atlanta ain't no damn Wakanda. But there's a mineral, iridium. And it's, man, this mineral has tremendous potential for generating wealth. And there's only two places, supposedly, I don't know, that has been said, two places on the planet where it is. And that's Haiti, which is pronounced Haiti. It is Haiti and Azania, South Africa. And both of those places where Caucasians, the settler colonialists, the colonizers, live very well still today, even though South Africa is supposed to be free. And yet the poverty in South Africa is still pervasive throughout South Africa. And this one really angered me a few years ago, because the brothers and sisters in South Africa were challenging brothers and sisters coming from other parts of the continent to go to South Africa to work, because those brothers and sisters had the skills that those corporations and companies were looking for. So instead of getting educated by them for themselves, they continue to be allowed to be divided and manipulated by the European, by the Caucasian, by the cracker, by the Afrikaners. And they were killing, beating up, whatever, those brothers and sisters who got those jobs. And yet, with this mineral and the mineral wealth of South Africa, not so much in Haiti, but I'm not sure what the reserves are in Haiti of this mineral. They could be rich. They could build up Haiti. Haiti with all that coastline. You could throw many resorts. I mean, stabilize the country. It could be done. They have the wealth in those two places. But on the continent, they have the wealth of the world. The Congo, the country that is right smack dab in the middle of the continent, has more wealth and more resources than any other parts of the continent and any other place on the earth, on this planet. And so Kenya, They're sending brothers to Haiti to squash the gangs in many of the cities, particularly of Port-au-Prince and other areas in Haiti. Because really, they should do it themselves, the Haitian people and those who are living here in this country, in other parts, who are Haitian, should say to those brothers and sisters who are making this effort, I'm coming home to help in all the strife and in all of the foolishness, all the craziness. I'm coming home. And we're going to do something to bring Haiti into sanity, to bring Haiti into the ability to grow as a nation with good governance, jobs, education, health care, all the things that are necessary. The ability to end the poverty, the abject poverty that you see. Where you build a trailer city, move all the people in there, clean up all that waste, all that madness, just bulldoze it, you know, and then build nice homes for the people, nice areas for commercial development, nice areas for strip malls and so forth. It can be done. But do you have the will to make it happen? And that's the problem. That's why I emphasize that word all the time. Do you have the will? Are you? Could you commit yourself? Could you be committed to making it happen? It's sad. It really is sad. It's pathetic. Yeah. I don't know, family. I don't know. I know that it should be done, it can be done, but will it get done? No. Because I'm, you know, I think for me, in my feeling of African redemption and re-Africanization and revitalization of African land and resources and so forth and all the things I'm serious about. And the fact that I'm past 70 years, so obviously I have more years behind me than I have ahead of me. And what I want to see, physically and realistically and materially, that we're moving in that direction. We're moving in a direction of independence, self-determination, liberation and sovereignty for African people, and particularly on African land, that nobody on African land controls it but Africans. Man, it's tough, family. It's extremely difficult. Let me get Mama Nabantu. Mama Nabantu, good morning. Are you there? She must be just listening, doing this and that. Brother Marcus.
Yes, good brother.
How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I am doing great, good brother.
Good.
Yes, I am just as pissed off as you are about that situation that the Kenyan president put himself in. You know, it's instead of saying to the Haitians, look, you need to come home, instead of relocating Haitian people to Kenya, which would be, it's simply amazing. Well, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be a lot of body bags coming back to Kenya. Because those Haitians ain't no joke, okay?
Right.
Those people know that foreign.
Because you're coming there, they're coming there to try to suppress them. They're trying to and that's not going to happen.
That is not. I mean, the guy should have took an example, read and see. Look, if those people beat Napoleon army in 1804, that telling you, look, these are people you go and mess with. Don't back. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
Right.
America herself don't even want to go in there.
Right.
America herself. So they say, well, we're going to support you with logistics and we're going to have drones and this and that. Look, them people getting ready for them. And Kenya, just get ready because them body bags going to start coming back to your country. And it's going to have a blowback on him. He's going to be out of there. He ain't going to be there. He'll probably be a one-term president, you know? His thing was chickens. He should stick to raising the chickens.
Yeah.
That's what made him a millionaire. Brother, stick to raising the chicken. Your thing is not international politics. Your thing is you know, you could be the biggest chicken farmer, and supply chicken to the whole of Africa.
Yeah.
You know, it's just ridiculous. It's sickening. And you know, another sickening one is that president in Nigeria.
Okay.
That money launderer. Because he was an accountant, you know. He was in the U.S., you know, and used to launder money for drug dealers, you know. That's why he had to flee America in the 90s. I'm surprised they let him back in. You know, I seen him over here having something at the Exim Bank. You know, they should have arrested him. You see?
But now he's the leader of Nigeria?
No, he's the leader of Nigeria, a money launderer, a criminal. You see, that had to flee America, because they were coming after him in the early 1990s, and he took off because they found out, hey, this guy here laundering money for these drug dealers. Now he's coming back.
Shit.
You know, it's just, man, it's these people just get me sick. But you know what? There's always a slip between the cup and the lip, and he might get swept out. Because, you know, Nigeria is not in a good position.
No.
Them people catching hell.
They
are. The food. And I saw something that he did to that landmark Africa down there in, in Nigeria. How he destroyed that landmark. That man, that entrepreneur came and built up that place, Brother Oshie. A seafront, it's called Landmark Africa. That brother there, forget the name, but I'm going to send you the video. I'm going to send you the YouTube thing.
Oh, please
what
do,
he
yeah.
Did, what yeah. he did to that man and that place. They came in and bulldozed the whole place, Brother Oshie. The man had spent $100 million setting up that resort. It was the hottest resort in the West Africa, and he came and bulldozed it to run a mile and a 1.5 kilometer highway through it. The Tinubu, he ain't no good.
Man,
he should have died at Charlesburg.
Send me that information. Yeah, please, Brother Marcus. Because I was not aware of it. And really, this needed to be discussed and talked about seriously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because you're talking about everyone has to come back to Africa to invest. But this, if they're doing that, a lot of people are going to get turned off. They go, well, why the hell should I go and invest when you're going to put all my money in here and then you're going to bulldoze the place? Because you're talking about eminent domain, you know? It's ridiculous. But I want to commend that leader in Burkina Faso, that young brother Faso.
Yes.
That young brother went and he bought. He said, look, I ain't going to spend no money on no luxury cars.
All right. Right.
He went and he bought 400 tractors. Mm-hmm. I said, look, we're going to farm.
That's right.
You see, we're going to farm. We're going to produce our own food. And that brother is a shining example.
Mm-hmm.
That young brother there, you know, Captain. I salute that captain,
yes,
Brother Ocean.
Yes, sir.
You know,
I
am here. I am listening, good brother. You
right
take
on.
Care. Thank
Appreciate you
so
Brother
much.
Marcus. Thank you so much, man.
All right.
Yeah, I definitely want to get that information from Brother Marcus as it relates to Nigeria and the destroying of a man. Let me see if Mama Nabantu, are you there? Okay. Well, we know what she's about. She's about the liberation of our people, the sovereignty for our people. And that's what she's done. That's what she's done most of her life. It's a good sister, just like all the others. Yep, we're going to take a break in a minute. I want to make sure that you are aware that Monday, June 7th, my guest will be Baba Barudi. And we'll spend a good amount of time, you know, discussing a lot of the things that we're talking about here, you know, because we understand what Baba Barudi is about. He's about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. You go pick up his literature. Go to AkabenHouse.com. AkabenHouse.com. Yeah. So, yeah, man, oh man, oh man. Like I said, I pray. I do. I pray that some music for you, family. And when we come back, I'm going to be playing a few things that people have sent that we can talk about. Man. This is, you know, let me say this, family. Emotionally, this is tough. Because you want us to succeed. You want our best efforts. You want an independent Africa. You want it, you know? So, anyway. We're going to take a break. We come back from the break. We'll have more discussion. Please join the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah, Bobby Lyle. Flow. And that is Hello Maceo. That was a cut. Hello Maceo with a number of folks. Yeah. So who was that with? Hello Maceo. I'll get it again. Najee, I think it was one of them. And a few others. But anyway. Oh, man. I'm kind of. You know, based upon what Marcus was talking about and what we were talking about and the fact that the Kenyan government is sending Kenyan military, to this hemisphere to fight some more Africans, it's just ridiculous. And being paid by the United Snakes. Man, make it stop. The only time it'll stop is when we stop it, family. Once again, Baba Mwali Mubarudi, will be here on Monday, June 17th. So if I said something wrong, please forgive me. June 17th, Monday, June 17th, 2 days before Juneteenth Day. And I believe that the Juneteenth celebration is going to be that weekend. Brother Bob Johnson here in the Atlanta area, who's been sponsoring and holding Juneteenth Day down. And the last few have been very good. They had it at Centennial Park last year. A lot of vendors, a lot of area people, you know. So, you know, Kwaku sent me a lot of stuff, Brother Kwaku. And he sent a few. I'm gonna play this one particularly, because this one, and comment on it. I want to comment on it because this one is interesting. You know, let me just say, Phil Wise, I was thinking of, yeah, the Caucasian who's been going around the country talking about how bad white folks have been treating us and so forth, and he knows the information, and he's get paid pretty good, you know, talking to us about our situation because of them. You know, tell it to your people, you know. Tell it to them. And here's one. It's telling it to them. Check this out.
The time for the truth has come. We white people can never apologize to the different ethnic, racial groups of people that we have systematically kidnapped, tortured, raped, and caused to be non-existent today. For the most part, we continue to do the same, as it's in our nature to exploit others for our own selfish benefit. We've created a forward base in what we call the Middle East, which is actually Africa, solely for the purpose of our neo-colonial expansion. We are so good at what we do that right in plain view of the entire world, we are euthanizing Palestinians without regard for age or gender. We have made laws and created economic systems specifically designed to keep wealth out of the hands and pockets, especially of black people. We've brainwashed black people for the most part, after putting them through the worst human suffering imaginable, robbing him of his birthright, his dignity, his culture, his knowledge of self and God. I am ashamed of myself and race. The time for the truth has come. We white people can never apologize to the different ethnic, racial groups of people.
And that's right. You're right. You can't. You've done it. And you continue to do it now. Granted, you're not going to hear very many Caucasians openly admit because they have a facade. They want the world to believe that the United States, England, European countries, and brought civilization to the world, have made it where they brought health care to the world. They brought all the things for humanity to grow, to prosper from. They want the world to believe that they are the ones that did it. Just as Malik Shabazz said, we bamboozled, been hoodwinked, led astray. Yeah. Yeah. We have been. And we continue to be. And it will only stop when we make it stop. It'll only stop when we come together. Get into our right minds. Throw off the ignorance and the fear and the lies and the cheating and the backstabbing of ourselves. To work together, to trust one another, believe in one another, support one another, pool our resources. Be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. It'll only happen when we make it happen. And we cannot expect anybody outside of us to do it. Now, that Caucasian, sympathetic, what's her name? Jane Elliott, sympathetic. What's the other? D'Angelo, sympathetic. And it's not hard for them to understand and to see what these people have done to us. It's right there. It is just, I mean, not only is it historical, it's ongoing. So it's right there. And we can do it. But do we have the will to do it? Once again, that word, family. Do we have the will to make that happen? It's truly our responsibility. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Do we have the will? You know, the United States, of course, the international community. You know, what's interesting, the international community is basically all the other countries of the world, people of the world, which are people of different shades of melanin, with the exception of Europeans. Europeans, Caucasians, Urugu, is about 10% of the world's population, 10%. The other 90% are of different shades and ethnicities, you know? And yet, Europeans dominate and control the world. Europeans, and how do they do it? Well, of course, through the manipulation, their mass media, and of course, the ability to kill your ass. So I always said, the European, the Caucasian, has always found a better way to kill your ass and to make sure that you do not challenge his authority. You know, they do it clandestinely. Next thing you know, you've been advocating on the part of our people and speaking loud. And now you can't speak at all. you're sick. And your sickness is so deep that you pass. Yeah. Well, we got some callers. Let me see if I can get Irv. Brother Irv, how you doing?
Baba Oshi, it's so good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here booking my flight
To
Miami, big brother.
Oh, right on.
You know we're going to do. But brother, let me say this to you. I'm listening to you as you're speaking about the will of the people. And you're absolutely correct. This all starts with the will of the people. But the reality is, we're fighting Irugu, talking about guns and knives and stabbing. He's got gases. Rugu's got robots that are come in and blow you up.
Yeah.
He's a master of finding different ways to kill you.
That's right.
When a white man comes on and tells you about how white people have destroyed black people's minds and kept them and kidnapped them and all those things, he still can go home to a house and children and a job or whatever he does.
Mm-hmm.
But when a black man speaks like that, he has more to lose. Because the higher up you move in this integration, the more you have to give of yourself to that. In other words, white folks don't want to hear about no black power when you go to work.
No.
I went to work for 35 years. They ain't trying to get no power to the people. And, you know, we've been struggling. They don't want to hear that. You need to leave that home. Because you in here, and you have to be an integrationist. You have to go along to get along. Get in where you fit in.
Yep.
And you need to work as an individual. You can't care about those other brothers
that's
coming up behind you.
That's right.
Because they got to fend for themselves. You've managed to get here.
Yeah.
You're one of the good ones.
Yep.
You managed to get promoted. You managed to conform to what everything we have to do. But the other ones, they don't want to conform.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like them. We like you. You can come to the party, but we're not going to invite those other ones because, see, we don't like. And then you get the comedian to come on. I love black people. I just don't like the N-word. Hell, that's not funny. There's nothing funny about that. What you're doing is you're putting your brothers down because your brother doesn't see the light. He hasn't been enlightened. He doesn't understand his history because he has no knowledge of self.
Yes.
If we don't have knowledge of self, we will keep spinning around in circles. And that's why the Zionists, and that's a word that you're not hearing anymore, the Zionists are destroying Palestine to give those people nowhere to come back to. Think about it.
If
you have nowhere to come back to, then you can't come back. We ask black American Africans, come back to Africa. Man, I ain't never been no damn African. I ain't no African. Well, what are you? I don't see color. Of course you don't. Because you got a house and a job and a car, and you believe that you've made it.
Mm-hmm.
Until some white guy comes up to you and calls you the N-word. Now you're in your feelings. You're in your feelings. Why are you in your feelings? You got a car. You got a house. You made it. But you're standing there by yourself because you have no idea of who you are. You have no idea. The reason you have what you have is because you're standing on the shoulders of our ancestors who sacrificed for you. I didn't say go out and vote. You can vote if you want to. You can keep trying to integrate if you want to, because I'm going to kill them with love. You go right ahead. Because King and Martin understood what we were trying to do, which was to liberate black people. King was doing it one way, Martin was doing it another way, but they both were going to the same thing. They were trying to liberate our people. Come on,
King,
man.
And Malcolm.
Stop being.
Yeah.
I mean, Malcolm, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Who did I say? What did I say? Leopold?
Said King, anyway, King and Martin, the same person.
They both were trying to liberate our people and to get away from this humiliation. You sit in the back of the bus, you got to sit in the balcony. When the reality is, when black people come out of these chains, we'll say, not only do I not want to sit in the balcony, not only do I not want to buy in your store, I'm going to set my own store up. But when we did that, we weren't ready to protect ourselves. They came and fought us. So now we have to protect ourselves. We have to protect our women, and the men have to band together and protect. When we get something, incorporate a part that where you can protect yourself. Where you, if you, you eye for an eye, you know. And I'm about done with it, Baba Oshie. I'm tired of begging and bending over and please don't take us no more. We sorry. Yeah. I'm not sorry. I don't apologize, and I'm not sorry. I did nothing to you. You are a warmonger. You have a demonic spirit in you, and it shows every time you get back against the wall or when I hit you in the face with the truth, you automatically, that spirit comes out of you. Mm-hmm. Because the truth is hard to take. You don't want to see what you're, we can't be, that didn't happen. That happened a long time ago, and so did the Jewish Holocaust, but you talk about that every year, but we ain't going to talk about the transatlantic slave trade like it never happened. It did happen, and it was financed by you.
Yeah.
Stop it. And now we don't, but we can't talk about the Congo. We can't talk about the Sudan. None of that comes on TV, you know, and it won't even let you see Gaza now. You can't see unless you turn to Al Jazeera. So, no, but you want me to worry about Donald Trump? I don't give a damn about Donald Trump. He's on a man that's been convicted of sexual harassment from a white woman, and now he's on trial for paying a porn star, and he's going to be the president. What are you people doing?
Yeah.
I don't understand. But it's in between him and the guy who wrote the crime bill who did a eulogy at the KKK's funeral, okay?
Mm-hmm.
These you can look it up. It's true. So my point is, Baba Oshie, is we as a people have to turn inward. We have to look to each other. We have to open the book. Our ancestors are here. We pour libations to them. We're only here because of them. And we have to let them make sure that they're proud of what we do and what we stand for. So just educate yourself, brothers and sisters. Just open the book. The book is there. The ancestors left you an instruction book. That's called the pyramids. They wrote it in stone so they couldn't get rid of it. So let's just look at it, and it'll talk to you. It'll tell you where to go, what to do, and how to do it. So, and it's right there. Brother, we can read. And even when we couldn't read, we were still smarter than these Rugu. Mm. Okay? So now, brother, we're in a good place. Good to hear your voice, Baba Oshie.
You too,
I mean
man.
That.
You
we're
going to
talk after the show for sure.
All right, dear brother.
For sure. Let's get some other callers in. I want to hear who's listening.
Peace.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Irv. Ah, good afternoon, good evening. How you doing? How you doing, Brother Paul?
Grand rising.
That's right.
Good afternoon, and welcome to you there in the land of Uncle Sam and to all those around the world.
Yeah. The land of Uncle Sam.
Baba Oshie, you know. When we get an opportunity to, when you give me that opportunity to speak on this platform, it's part of the liberation. It's like part of my sanity gets liberated.
I hear you. I heard that.
Because, you know, when you observe those pushing the hocus pocus and fairy tales or you get wrapped up in the circus of politics.
Mm-hmm.
There's it can distort your reality and drive you to insanity. Because mm-hmm. when you start to observe these characters, and you know, with the internet and with the access to information, you can do your own research. And if you've got two faculties and two brain cells, you start to quickly work out that you're being totally lied to. It's a grand deception. I mean, it's totally obvious. So. Then the debates get a bit tiring because you're debating something which is like going to Disneyland and you're debating whether Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck is real. You know what I mean? And then you get where I'm coming from,
and you get
drawn into that. You know what I mean? And sometimes you got to step back and just let them argue and let them debate, man, because they're just in the delusion, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. You're not going to be able to change them because they've risen to the point where they no longer can see the reality, you know. They're just swimming with the delusion. So, you know, it brings me to this, Baba Oshie. This is why I say this, and it brings me to this. There's something which our great brother played on in the playback, yeah? And it's something he said, and I thought about it. You said, like you talk about blame, and there's a sister who phones into the program and she feels the same way. about blame, and she said, you put the blame where it belongs.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to humbly and respectfully, because you're my elder, Baba Ochi, but I'm going to humbly and totally respectfully absolutely disagree with that.
Okay.
And the reason why, because I've been going over that in my mind, and I've been looking at it, and I've been analyzing it. And it brought me back to a point when I started on this journey. And I thought, how did we get I used to think, how did we allow ourselves to get in this position, right? How did that happen? I grew up in a place was predominantly racist, called get called nigger, wog, coon, all in the 70s. It was just like that, you know, I mean, get spat on and all these things, yeah? But all those experiences I've been through, right? I have never in my life seen these people as superior to me. And the reason, and I had to analyze that. Why have I never seen these people as superior to me? Because my parents, who came from Jamaica, they didn't have that mentality. And I'm realizing there's a different dynamics which is happening to you in America than there is here. They never for one day allowed me to feel that these people were ever better than me. In actual fact, my mother and my father always told us, you're going to do better. You must do better.
Right.
You must do better. Right. You know what I mean? You must study harder. You must read more. You must run faster. You must be stronger. Mm-hmm. That's the mentality that he had. So I have never seen these people as superior to me. Their technology, what they do, what they build. So along the way in reading, I come across Marcus Garvey. I wasn't, my parents didn't tell me about Marcus Garvey. I learned later on. And one of the things he says is that these people are bluffing. That's what he says. I didn't make this up. Marcus Messiah Garvey said that these people, he said this 100 years ago, these people are bluffing you. Malcolm X said, you're being bamboozled, and you're being hoodwinked. Now, to me, if you're really a conscious person, right, really, not just speaking out two sides of your mouth, and I'm putting it out there, the reality of it is these two great people are telling you that this man's put you in a delusion.
Mm-hmm.
You're being hoodwinked, right, and you're being bamboozled. Marcus Garvey said, you're being bluffed. Now, if you really accept that, then what's your problem? Why am I blaming them? I ain't blaming them, because I do accept that. I accept that we're being bluffed. I accept that we're being bamboozled, and I accept that we're being hoodwinked. Yes, this is not real. It's just so he can design all the weapons he wants, of chemical weapons or arms. He can design it all he wants, but he's still bluffing me. Let me tell you why. Because he didn't make me. He is not my God. And I'm not his child. I'm a man just like him. Okay? The problem is, we've not done what we need to do. Because most of us are scared. Really.
Yeah.
Most of us. We got to be... Look, man. Look, Baba Ochi. Why can we not stop bullcrapping each other and stop hoodwinking each other? Because that's what we're doing now. It's not the white man hoodwinking us. We're hoodwinking each other. We're bamboozling each other, and we're lying to one another. Why don't we talk the truth? Most of us are too frightened to go out there and do what needs to be done, because most of us have not got it in us to commit our life to this cause. We haven't got it in us, and it's a damn shame. It's an embarrassment to our families, and it's an embarrassment to our women. It's a damn embarrassment. I've heard it said that our women aren't protected, and that bothers me. And look, we talk about Tulsa, Oklahoma, all these places, yeah? But what we don't talk about is the failure to protect ourselves, the failure to stand up and fight like men to the death. We don't talk about that, right? We don't talk about militias. We don't talk about arming. We don't talk about going out there and doing what we need to do. But we get these fools come on there and call people names. Oh, I'm calling in names. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to win that by calling people names. I mean, what is that about? I call you names all day long. So how does that give me an advantage? I want someone to explain it to me. It might make me feel better. How does it make me feel better? You're telling me that I'm at war. You're telling me that I'm at war with these people. But I don't see no war. How are you at war? How are you at war when you're paying these people taxes from the day you're born till you leave this place? How are you at war when you beg these people for work, you beg these people for jobs? How are you at war? I want you to, please, Baba, you're my elder. Explain that to me how we're at war. How are you at war that when you go into these people's hospitals and you beg them to save your life? How? Where's your hospitals? Where really is your schools? And even when you've got your schools, you're still following their curriculum, but you're at war. You ain't at no damn war. That's another lie. Baba Ochi, this is what I'm trying to say. I'm tired with the lies. I don't want to lie to myself. You don't need to... I don't need to lie to myself to make me feel stronger or better or whatever. Yeah? I want to know the truth, the raw reality, as my elder Eric Kuti would say. Last thing I'm going to say. Last Friday, a great man passed away. He's one of our elders. We call him Elder Herakuti. I used to go to that man's house. He was the realest man for me. We used to sit down and talk. The man's gone around the world. He used to be a flute player. Played in many bands and many things around the world. He was a Rasta by heart. He'd come from Jamaica. You know, I was trying to get him to document his stuff and write a book, and we was like quarter of the way through it. He got sick. He was 79 and passed away. Okay? So, in that reality, I feel it's my duty to just deal with that rawality. He always used this word, the rawality. He used to say to me, people don't know that they don't know that they don't know.
They don't know.
I'm going to put that out there. Yeah. He used to just continue. He said, Paul, most people, they don't know that they don't know that they don't know. Okay? They don't really want to deal with the rawality of the situation. Right.
They don't want to deal with the rawality. So, that's a good statement.
Absolutely. I tell you, Elder, you would have loved him. You and him would sit there and chat to... He was so wise and so brilliant man. Yeah. They don't want to deal with the rawality of the situation. They just don't know that they don't know that they don't bloody know. So hear what now, Baba Ochi. We got to face up to this reality. Yeah. These Zionists we talk about, right? I mean, this ain't started with Palestine. They've been killing us off the earth from how long?
Long time. You know, thousands of years.
And they've been killing us by stealth. They've been killing us through... Look at the toothpaste we use full of fluoride. Fluoride is a chemical waste they collect off industrial chimneys and they put in your toothpaste, fluoride, and put it in your water. Go and check it if you think I'm making it up. Go and read on the internet. Fluoride is a chemical waste they collect off the chimneys. There was one of your senators there in America who used to work for one of them chemical companies, right, who lobbied the government to get it put in toothpaste, fluoride, and water. Yeah? They've been killing us from time, right? Genetically modified food is championed right there in Uncle Sam's land, and they're trying to give it to the world. That's killing us off. Bill Gates there, he's poisoning us left, right, and center. We think he started with the Palestinians. We are actively being taken out. Actively, Baba.
Can we get in here before the time runs out?
Oh, hey, okay, brother. Brother Rick, how you doing?
Yeah, you're going to come in, brother. You're going to come in. Let him come in. But, brother, let me just say this, Baba Ochi. When is he going to face this truth, man? When are we going to really stand up and deal with this truth?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, that, you know, I always hope it's now, but it should have been yesterday. But if it's happening tomorrow, it may be too late for us. And so that's why I beat this drum consistently every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on this radio program, but every day of my life. And using it as an example,
because
I don't just say this on this radio piece. I say this, period. Go ahead, Brother Rick. Good to hear from you, brother. How you been?
I've been good. You know, all we got to do is take another breath. If there's something there for us to take in, we're doing all right. That's the way I look at it.
I hear you.
You know, and it's real interesting listening to other callers. But, you know, I think we don't fault ourselves in this. You know, when I was a very, very young child, my uncle taught me how to play chess. And he used to beat the hell out of me. Mm. Not because he was trying to, but he was trying to show me all the alternatives to what I was doing. and I learned to, and I'm not going to say I learned, because I'm still learning. But I learned that the black pieces and the white pieces are really equal. And how you manage them is what determines whether you're going to win or not.
Right.
You, if you play chess at all, you know you can win with a couple pawns.
Sure.
As long as you got a pawn and a king at the end, and they all they got is a king, you're gonna win. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say it, but I look at life that way. We don't look at the opportunities that, first of all, have passed us. We got to admit we missed the bus. Now, what do you got to do to get where you want to go? You got to walk. And so many people look at walking as though it is torture. But, you know, in other words, the things that we have to do in order to get this chess game, if you will, back in order, we got to do some sacrificing. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that makes it uncomfortable for a lot of people.
Yeah.
When we look at the youth, they have no real cognizance of the situation we're in. They're trying to be a part of this because they don't know the alternatives. They don't know any of the alternatives, and it's not their fault. It's their parents, and it's their parents' fault is what it is.
It's our
generation,
fault.
It's
our fault. It's our fault as a people.
That's right. That's right. That generation that produced them are the ones that lost the knight and the rook, mm-hmm. you know, and we got to do something to get not necessarily those pieces back, but we got to get our position back. And, you know, one of the things that we have never really tried en masse is simply to just withdraw ourselves mm-hmm. from their daily activities. We don't recognize the power, Oshi, that we have. If we could get 50%, if we could get 20% of black people in this country to not go to work for a week, we could shut this country down. Because we run this country, the mechanics of it, we operate it. But we don't realize that. We keep going to the courts. We keep going for laws. We keep expecting the police to treat us fairly. We keep expecting the grocery prices to come down. But we don't give them an ultimatum. We don't give them ultimatums. Malcolm and, you know, Elijah Muhammad talked about ultimatums. Malcolm more so than Elijah did, but they were both from the same school. But we have pretty much neglected. All we do is quote them now and go right on back to work the next day.
You're right.
You know what
you're
I'm
right.
saying?
And, you're
and
right.
That's the sad part, man. We haven't learned to teach, first of all, to like I said in those chess games, I learned that sometimes a pawn can defeat a rook if you put it in the right spot.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I learned that a long time ago. So just because you're outclassed piece-wise doesn't mean that you're going to lose the game. It means you got to play it differently. And we that's a part that we keep expecting these folks to be. Like the brother said earlier, Brother Paul, they are basically monsters. Their culture is that of monsters. Once we accept that, if you don't like that, look at the history. Just simply look. You know, that's what you do when you go to get a car. They look at your credit history. They see that you miss payments here, you miss payments here, and they don't give you what you ask for. But we keep going to the courts. We keep saying the Supreme Court this. We keep saying the Constitution says this. And we don't realize these folks had the same Constitution when they held our forefathers in slavery. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was no difference. No difference. The words in that Constitution were identical to what they are today. So that means that the Constitution doesn't govern anything. What governs this world is your ability to die for what you believe in. Let me repeat that. What governs this, what makes you a man or a woman is that you are willing to die for what you believe in. That's how you guarantee that you'll have a future. And we don't talk about stuff like that. They tell me, you're talking that radical stuff. You know, well, you know, why are you sitting here going to work in the morning? Because somebody did that radical stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean you personally, but I'm just saying our culture.
No.
You know, black folks in the world over look at us and turn their noses up because they see us as people who simply don't go with the opportunity. Like I said, if we got 10%, Oshi, 10 to 20% of our people just say we're not going to work for a week, we could shut this place down. We don't look at strategies. We just look for white folks. When you going to treat us right? Well, the law says this. You know, the law. Yeah, they don't live by no damn law.
Yeah.
They don't give a damn. If they write the law. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
For their benefit.
So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how else to say it. It's really simple. It's a very simple prognosis. You know, you're sick. You got to heal yourself. You go to the doctor, he might stick you with a needle. He might have to take off an appendage. But the purpose of it is to heal your body. And we don't go after those kinds of things, brother. You know, I enjoy listening to your program and the callers. You know, I don't interact that often because, you know, I don't – the kinds of things that I talk about are not things that necessarily need to go out on the public airway. And the mm-hmm. things that I'm doing, I don't try to advertise what I'm doing.
Right.
I don't tell you I'm going to remove my pawn to Queen Four. All of a sudden you look up and there,
right.
it is.
There it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm saying I appreciate you, brother, more than you realize.
Well, I
want to open up the air to have someone else come in and
you bet.
Share their wisdom. Thank you, brother.
No, thank you, man. Thank you for listening, and thank you for participating.
Baba Oshie.
Yes, Brother Irv.
Really, really quickly, Baba Oshie. I agree with that, brother, with everything that he said. Mm-hmm. He said what Paul is saying. Mm-hmm. Paul said we're in a war. He said, I don't say things on the air because I'm fighting. I know I'm in a war. I move my pieces on the chessboard, but I don't advertise it. I can't say them on the air. And that's exactly what Paul was saying. Mm-hmm. As soon as we realize we're in a war, Baba Oshie, then we'll realize that we have to fight. And this is a fight. And I think what you say every time you get on the air, Baba Oshie, is that we have to unite. Uniting is fighting. As long as we into individualism, Baba Oshie, we're never going to get anywhere. You say it every time you come on the air. We have to come together.
Yeah.
We have to unite. We're stronger when the fist is balled up than it is when it's open.
No doubt.
We can't broadcast.
But see, the problem is that we're in an environment where the people celebrate individualism. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what these Europeans, these Caucasians, these Yorugu has always been about. They are about. Mm-hmm. And so even though individualism is a Caucasian, European, Yorugu desire, but collectivism has been who we are historically. The civilizations mm-hmm. and things that we did would not have come to fruition or been in existence if it wasn't for us being collective. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for us mm-hmm. loving one another, supporting one another, trusting one another, willing to build with one another, that Kemetic civilization wouldn't have existed. The Nubians are none of those. But we're here now, and the dominance of Europeans and the dictates of Europeans unfortunately control our lives, and we don't feel that we need to do that. We just continue to beat down these crackers. Hopefully they'll eventually, you know, recognize our suffering,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. and begin to treat us right and allow us
right.
to be a participant in their stuff. This is theirs. This is theirs. This is not ours. And it's
That's
never
right.
going to benefit us collectively. It may no. benefit a few of us here and there. And of course the European holds them up as something that you can look at and hopefully aspire to by for them. And of course you can't because it's only a few, because not all even crackers can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they give you the mm-hmm. illusion. And of course they have given us the illusion of inclusion. And we have taken it to mean that it's just as much mine as it is theirs. And so, you know, I'd rather fight for this madness, even though it is theirs, than to create my own.
Right.
You know?
Baba Ochi. Can I, excuse me, can I just address something Brother Irv just said there?
Sure.
If you don't mind. Thank you. Brother Irv, I think you misunderstood what I'm saying.
Okay.
Brother Irv, I've heard you say, as well as many others, that we are at war. What I'm saying, Brother Irv, for the sake of clarity and unambiguity, I'm saying this precisely. Everything I've heard, me personally, and when I look at the evidence, I don't think we are at war. And what I'm asking, if we are at war, you were a soldier, right? And I've asked you this before, and you said, I asked you when you was in the army, if they were saying to you that you're at war, and you said, no, they didn't, right? Because I suppose they call it peacetime. Mm-hmm. My point is this. This is my point, Brother Irv. I keep hearing this call, we are at war. Now, my problem with that is this. How are you telling people who can't fight, they haven't got the fight in them, right? They're at war. Because war is ultimate violence. You cannot tell people who can't fight, who don't have fight in them, you must do ultimate violence, because all you're going to do is put them in a state of fear, right? Mm. If you can't fight, and I'm telling you to go and fight that man, you're going to run. You're going to run the opposite way, because there's no fight in you. And a great deal of us have no fight in us. This is what I'm saying about the lying to ourselves. We're just lying to ourselves. A lot of us have no fight left in us. I've seen it. I'm not a fool. I see it. I hear the way they talk, and I hear the way they behave. I watch the way they behave. Look, if you're an addict to something, you're drunk or you're addicted to some substance, you're not a fighter. You're going to be defeated by a fighter. You can't go in the ring if you're under some influence, right? If you're a soldier and you're going to war, your head has to be clear. You're going to be defeated. You're going to let your squad down because your head ain't clear. So my point is this. We keep having this rally call, oh, we're at war, like as if to suggest if we say that, everybody's going to get come together. Look, that ain't going to happen because we're not at war. What's happening to us, we're being warred upon, and the majority of us don't even know we're being warred upon. Majority of us can't fight because we've not been trained to fight. We've not developed the mentality to fight. We haven't developed the discipline to fight. None of those things. So you cannot tell people who haven't got the discipline to fight, who are drunk, intoxicated, and all the rest of it, to fight a war, because it's not going to happen. That is total delusion. So what I'm saying to you, my friend, all due respect, is that this idea that we're at war is a fallacy. We are being warred upon, and because we're not fighting back, what's happening to us is exactly what's happening to the Palestinian people now. The only difference is you can see it on your HDTV. The difference with us, they're doing it by stealth. They're killing us through the foods, like diabetes, heart disease, all these things. That's how they're killing us. That's why they keep giving you the records. Oh, the black man dies by prostate cancer more than... I mean, how can a black man be dying of prostate cancer more than any other unless they're trying to kill us, unless they're killing us off the planet? They are killing us off the planet, and we're so stupid, we're repeating the same things. Oh, yeah, the black man dies of prostate cancer. I mean, why? Why does the woman in childbirth, black woman, die more than anybody else? Why? What reason? When she's really in her DNA, she's the strongest woman. Why is she dying? Because they are killing us, okay? So we're not at war, is my point. I mean, I'm not telling anyone what to think. I'm just thinking how ridiculous it sounds. Let me jump in here, Brother Paul.
Let me jump in here for a second, because I understand what you're saying, and we've talked about this previously. Mm-hmm. I say that we are at war for the minds of our people. Mm-hmm. Who is going to control the African mind? And whoever controls the African mind,
100%.
Whoever controls the African mind,
I can accept that 100%, Bob.
Thank you. Controls resources, controls health, controls death. So we're at war for, and we have been made to reject and to be ashamed of being African. So when I'm trying to instill in you a mindset about who you are historically, who you are culturally, who you know, your history and so forth, it's difficult because the European has put into your mind that you ain't never been nothing but you know, a slave.
A second class citizen.
A second class. You know, that you were running around the jungle with a rag up your ass and a bone through your nose, never having created anything of any substance. And they have perpetuated it to today. Yes.
I absolutely agree with you. But so my point is this, when people, and I'm just putting it out there, I'm not telling anybody what to think. You think what you like. But the reality of it is that when you say we're at war for the minds of our people, what you're doing there right there is a strategy, because that is accurate, absolutely accurate. We're at war for the minds of the people. And then everything, the platform you're on, is called Time for an Awakening.
Yes.
So there's the second strategy. So the first strategy, you say, is we're at war for the minds of our people, which the words that come out of your mouth are precise. We're at war for the minds of our people. The platform when you're on is on Time for Awakening. And your program is called African Perspectives, the third strategy. So you're talking about African people. We're fighting for the minds of our people.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And it's time to wake up.
Yes.
Right. So the point I'm trying to make, when people out there say, oh, we're at war. Look, war, if you look at the definition of war, it's about ultimate violence. Mm-hmm. Now, you keep saying that, you're just going to frighten people. You're not going to frighten me because I'm a fighter. I'm ready.
Right.
But I know being a fighter, right? When you come up against a man who's ready, he's trained, he's fit, right? That is a proper fight you're going to have. When you come up against a man who thinks he's big and whatever, he's an easy takedown because you know what to do to him. You know he's not, because he drinks, he smokes, he's not going to last the distance. He ain't going to last. He ain't going to have the stamina to last the distance. You're going to hit him in his solar plexus. You're going to hit him in his chest. You're going to hit him in those places. It's going to just make him start breathing heavy. He ain't going to have the ability to fight you. He ain't. If he's bigger than you, taller than you, you kick him in his thighs. Kick him in his thighs. And once his legs go, he ain't going to stand up. The point I'm trying to make, Baba Ochi, This rallying call we put out, we're in a war, is so inaccurate, and it's just scaring people away.
Brother Paul,
we're
at the
war
please,
for the minds of our...
One second.
We're at the war for the minds of our people, yes, because when we talk to some of our people, you know, that it's untrue. We have to win back the wars of our people so we can go to any war or fight anybody, because we're totally off our heads, a lot of us.
That's right. So thank we you. Need to... We're going to Africa. Man. Go ahead, Brother Irv.
Really quick. I know we only got 2 minutes left, but I think, Brother Paul, we're getting confused in the different types of war we're talking about. So are we talking about a physiological war or a physical war? And when you talk about fighting a man and physically, I have to be stronger than him. I have to have more smarts than him to fight him. But when you're talking psychologically, we're talking about the mind of the people. You're talking about a mindset. When you fight a person with the mind, I don't have to put my hands on you and I can beat you down. White people don't put us in cages. We don't have chains on our wrists, but our minds are chained up. And that's what this show is about. Not only the physical, but the mind. We're fighting for the way you think. And you already know. You get it both ways. You understand the physical and the mind. But most people...
That statement metaphorically. Metaphorically speaking.
Well, good word. I ain't got the vocabulary. But brother, I'm with you. We're saying the same thing. It's just different ways to fight. We all are getting to the liberation. We're just taking different roads. And we have to understand that and not victimize the ones who are not enlightened, because a lot of people don't see what's in front of them because they don't have courage.
Yeah, but Brother Irv, the point I'm trying to make, my point is this, Brother Irv. This is my point. When we just say we're in a war, which you hear very often, I'm saying... Do they, those people not realize how many people they frighten and push away? Because there are a great deal of people who are not in that mindset. So all you're doing is frightening them. They're saying, well, I ain't in no war. I ain't no fight. I ain't in that. So what I'm saying is, when we make these statements, we got to be more accurate. We're in a war for the minds of our people. We want our people's minds liberated. Yes, correct. Is what I'm saying. But because too often we hear this rallying call, we're in a war, we're in a war. And we ain't in no damn war. We ain't. In fact, if we were in a war, we'd be the worst fighters on the planet. We'd be just like some clowns. Because how can you be in a war, right, and then you're depending on your enemy? How can you be in a war, you're depending on your enemy to feed
but,
you?
But you also,
you,
but Brother Paul, you also have to say, you also have to say, how can you come over here in the belly of a ship and be where you are right now? How can you come over
exactly.
here as a slave
I agree.
On your
I
knees?
Agree.
Wait a minute, not being able to speak language to each other, not even understanding each
I
other,
agree.
But you have come this far, and you're actually, we're actually about to take over this thing. We don't, they don't see it. We can't say
well,
it, but we have come
I'm
so
with
far.
You.
So
I'm with you.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are, brother.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you,
brother.
Right on, brothers. I appreciate you. Appreciate you too, brother. Brother Rick. Appreciate you.
Love you, Paul.
Always.
Love you, Rick.
Always. Brothers
Take
and sisters,
care,
I appreciate
Take
it. Thank
care.
You. Thank you so much for your participation, your listening, more importantly, your participation. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs. With the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. That's right. It's the mind. So this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. I'll see you when I get back from New Orleans from the EDI program. Man, I tell you, I know I've been off a lot, but hey, listen, family, love y'all, appreciate y'all, and for those who continue to listen to this program on this platform, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Rick. All of them. Mama Nabantu. Brother Irv, Kwaku, you know, so many of y'all to name. Thank you so much. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahordie, Abibi Fahordie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed day. Peace.